philosopher more than anything, is W.E.B. Du Bois. And he said of his people in his day, he said, we will progress in the measure that we are willing to teach our children to think. Now, you know, thinking used to be important. I used to hear parents say, are you thinking? Now we don't even ask, you know. We don't, thinking is just, it's not important anymore, forgotten. That activity, you know, thinking. I guess it's because we're thinking about too so much, we're thinking so much on the wrong thing, I guess nobody wants you to think. So we're busy thinking on the wrong thing, that's for sure. But we need to think. And what W.E.B. Du Bois meant was, he meant think life. Think intelligence. Think progress for your people. That's the kind of thinking he was talking about, you know? If we only teach our children to think, what does God tell us in our holy book of Quran? He said, think. So thinking certainly brings you profits. Think. For thinking surely brings profits, or brings you profits. Really, the progress of man begins with the thinker, right? Yes? Man was lost among the animals. But then there came the thinker, and he just sat down and he began to think. And he thought on the order of the heavens, and he thought on what was going on down on earth for human life. And he was inspired to want to know, why are these things ordered like this? He wanted understanding of the external reality. It has brought him to even wonder, what is my purpose? I'm now a thinker. So he arrived at an identity for himself. He said, I'm a thinker. And it's in the Bible, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It means his existence depends on how he thinks in his heart. So here the Bible, the revelation in the Bible, gives something extra to the philosophers call to people to think, on intellectuals, or men of curiosities, to think. He gives something extra and says, as a man thinketh in his heart. That's very important, because the heart will influence your thinking. The heart influences your thinking. And if your heart is right, most likely your thinking will be right. But if your heart is not right, most likely your thinking will also be not right. So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As our appetites influence, our appetites for material things, but also our appetites for spiritual things, like being in good company or being in the company of people that you enjoy, that's a spiritual interest, you know? Being in the company of people, with people that you enjoy being with, you see? Well, however the thinking is, the thinking in the heart is very important. Thinking in the heart. Thinking that respects a need to be aware of your appetites and how your appetites influence your thinking. The first seducer, Satan, or Shaitan, he influenced the thinking of the man that God put in the garden. Created for peace and success, and put him in a peaceful garden, a good situation, that's what God means. Put him in a good situation for his existence. And then the Satan, the enemy of mankind, he came and seduced him. And what did he tell him? He told him, oh, don't think that God meant with these things the way God put them. No. You won't really become blind or lose your, or die. Your eyes will come open, and you'll become as the God and the angels. Mm-hmm. So here he's appealing to the man's appetite to improve his own situation, to better his own situation, and influencing him to ignore what he perceived as instructions of moral obligations. They're telling him, no, don't worry about this moral issue. Don't worry about that. Follow your curiosity. Because this, if you do this, you will live forever. So this is just appealing to his own selfish needs. Appealing to his own selfish needs. So that kind of influence is like influence coming from the heart, right? Okay, now you convince me that I have been shortchanging myself and denying myself in ignorance, and I should not obey these instructions that I got here that says don't do this thing, but I should follow my curiosity so I will have more to enjoy and a longer time to live. So this is a selfish kind of position that the man was tricked into. He was tricked into this selfish kind of position, and it caused him the loss of his moral life.
Right.
Yes. The Satan says, well, you won't surely die. But when you die morally, you're dead.
Amen.
You're dead. So we don't want to miss the good advice in these lessons that's in Scripture for us. When you die morally, you are dead. Yes. So if you want to stay alive, then keep good morals. Keep good intentions. Work for good things, not only for yourself, but good things for others also, and you will get back into paradise, and if you stay that way, you stay in paradise. Stay in paradise. Yes, we believe that you can be in paradise and in hell right here on this earth. People say, oh, when I die, I may go to hell. No, you most likely are in hell already. And both books tell us, if you don't experience it on this side, you're not going to get it on the other side. So let us not worry too much about the unknown. Let us deal more with the known and have faith in what God's promised that have not come true for us yet. Have faith in his promise that he's going to give us what he promised, but we are going to deal with this reality that we can understand and make a better life for ourselves on this side, so we will have the ticket, or the admission ticket, to go into the next. Because that's what God says for both Muslims and Christians. If you don't get it on this side, you'll have no admission ticket into the next world. Our time is moving on. Now, also, we have to change our attitude toward the vital structures of society. And the way to change our attitude, we have to have a quick, I would say, review of these things. If you're dealing with the problems in the neighborhood, of crime and all this, and you see the police locking up people, passing by some and locking up others, and after a while one of your children get taken by the police, locked up in jail, or you hear your neighbor's son got locked up, and you start crying. Well, why don't they do something about the conditions? Why don't they provide more of this and more of that? And our children wouldn't be tricked or enticed to get into these kind of things. You know, you start looking for others to blame, somebody to blame. After a while, you join your children in putting down law enforcement. Yeah, they know better than anybody else. No. Pretty soon you don't care about anything but yourself and your own little interests. You don't support the vital structures of your town or of the society. That's no good. That's what Satan wants. Satan wants us to not to appreciate law enforcement. Satan wants us not to appreciate the fire department. Satan wants us to have hell and penny hell in our life. Satan wants us to be cut off from all good. Satan wants us to love a life of misery. Why? Because he's the one that financed that life. Satan finances the life of the foolish. Satan finances the life of the corrupted. Satan financed that life. And I'm not talking about something ain't real. I'm talking about something very real. I'm talking about greed. Greed to the extent you don't care about human life anymore. You don't even perform a function as a sensitive human being anymore. You're just looking at the power that you can get when you've got the material might out of the money, the riches in your control. You may go home and look like a perfect human being. Sit down with your children and treat them so humanly, so nice. And wife and all, you're just loving and nice, a beautiful family. Then you go out to your job in the world. Your job in the world is just to collect more and more material wealth so you will have more and more control in the lives of others. So Satan can look like a perfect human at home, but he's a beast outside. Yes. Oh, yes. He's a beast, a perfect beast outside, but at home he might look like a perfect human. So what is this man saying? He sounds like he's saying something like what his father said. No, not exactly, but my father just made it possible for me to have the freedom to think this way. You know, his things were so shocking, and so he shocked me into having the freedom to think this way. I don't believe what he taught, no. And he didn't either, because he didn't practice what he preached. He didn't. He said all white folks was devils, and then invite a white person to come and have a coffee and discuss things with him at his table. I just saw a black brother. I thought he was one of his top friends too. And he didn't tell my mother to go out and get that gold trim china for our guest. We got a special guest here, Clara. Go get that gold trim china for our guest. You know. We didn't say that to that black brother was over there drinking out of that regular cup we drank out of, you know. So he didn't practice what he preached. So it didn't affect me. It didn't affect me to be negative, you know, or to be ignorant and think of the white person as my enemy. No, he didn't raise me that way. My mother didn't raise me that way. They raised me to be intelligent, to be sensible, and respect all people, and appreciate good wherever we found it, you know. That's how he raised me. So, but his preaching that, it had a way of really making you independent, kind of made you an independent thinker. We most of us always blame the white race for our problems. So our people blame the white race for a problem, and then he's saying, oh, white race is nothing but a race of devils. So they can't help it. They just got to do bad. They got to do bad things. They can't help it. It's their nature to be bad, to do bad things. Don't you know the white man heard that? Yeah, white man heard that. And I do believe I'll be Elijah Muhammad's voice in the world for the time that he lived was more therapeutic than anything the white man ever had coming to his world. Yes. Yes. Elijah Muhammad, my father, and the leader of us, that man, what he said to the white world in their ears, had more power to heal them than anything that had ever happened to them in their life, in the history of white people on this earth. He said, you can't help yourself. You got to do evil. Because you are naturally born devil. Right there, say, who is this? So, well, who is this guy? We haven't heard anything like this since Frederick Douglass. And Frederick Douglass said, you claim Jesus Christ and democracy, but your behavior is such that would shame a nation of savages. And that, again, was healing for the white leadership at that time. Yes? And pretty soon, you see what happened. We got emancipated from physical bondage. Yes. And believe me, the Chicago Sun-Times and the Chicago Magazine, Channel 11 magazine, public Channel 11 magazine, those two publications would not have listed my father, Donald Elijah Muhammad, among 100 persons that they recognized, those two publications recognized, as influencing the history of Chicago, would not have recognized him if they didn't see deeper than the average one of us see when we look at the life and works of Donald Elijah Muhammad.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call our right, Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 178-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1051, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim journals, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.